This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, today we continue with a special Easter series, How the Resurrection Gives Us Hope. In these lessons, Pastor Rick will share the six reasons why the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us far more hope than anything else the world has to offer. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a wonderful resource called the Journey with Jesus Deluxe Gift Book. It will show you the significance of the 15 stops Jesus made on the road to Calvary. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called How the Resurrection Gives Us Hope.
When Jesus Christ was crucified in 33 AD, there were only about 120 followers that were true to his message at that time. They were meeting in an upper room, about 120 followers. Today, 2,000 years later, 2.3 billion people in the world, billion, claim to be a follower of Christ. 2.3 billion. Now, let me put that in perspective. That means one out of every three people on this planet, one out of every three would say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. The Christian church is by far, the largest organization on planet Earth. Nothing else comes close to the size of the Christian church. Nothing else comes close. 2.3 billion followers of Christ. The church is bigger than China. The church is bigger than China and Europe put together. The Christian church, followers of Christ, is bigger than China and Europe and the United States put together. Nothing is bigger on planet Earth than the Church of Jesus Christ. How in the world did that happen? Why did Christianity spread so far and so fast? How did a little band of 12 poor fishermen, the people that Jesus chose to be his first followers, how did that expand into one out of every three people on planet Earth? In a word, the resurrection. That changed everything. When God said, I'm going to come to Earth and die for the sins of all mankind, and then I'm going to prove that I'm God by coming back to life 3 days later. That is the single most significant event in history. Nothing comes close. It split history into AD and BC. Every other event in history is dated by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, either before or after. Even your birthday is dated by the day, the month, and the year on how many years it's been since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the single most significant event in history because Jesus was resurrected. Now, let me explain the difference between resurrection and resuscitation. They are not the same. People get resuscitated all the time. You know, if you faint, we'll resuscitate you. If you go in a coma, you can be resuscitated. There are people will die for 15 minutes or 20 minutes or my heart stopped for a certain number of times. And then they go write a book about how they went to heaven and back in 20 minutes. Those are resuscitation. Resurrection means you've been buried in the ground for 3 days and then you come back to life. Only Jesus Christ has done that. That's not resuscitation, folks. That's resurrection. And that single event changed all of history. And what it did is it turned those first followers of Christ from being disconsolate and depressed and disillusioned and in despair and defeated into courageous and contagious people filled with hope. And they began to spread the message of hope everywhere because when they saw Jesus had come back to life, it changed everything. What I want to do this Easter is I want us to look at the six reasons why followers of Jesus Christ are the most hopeful people on the planet. We have more hope than anybody else. There's no contest. We have far more hope than anybody else in the world because of what Jesus Christ did at the resurrection. The first reason Jesus' resurrection gives us hope is we have been completely forgiven. We have been completely forgiven. Jesus repeatedly said over and over, I'm going to die on the cross to pay for all your sins. He said it over and over and over. And then he said, and then I'm going to come back to life 3 days later to prove that I am who I say I am. Now, if he hadn't done the second part, the first part doesn't really matter. If he didn't come back to life, then I have every reason to doubt that he died for my sins. The two go together. Now, let me give you some good news. There on your outline, the Bible says this, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In Christ, we are set free by the blood of his death. And so we have forgiveness of sins because of God's rich grace. Now, we're all imperfect, so we all carry regrets and we all carry remorse and we always wish we had done things differently. We all have sins and things that we feel bad about and guilty about. And God doesn't want you carrying guilt through life. God doesn't want you carrying a load of shame through life. The whole reason he died on the cross was so that you could be free from all of that guilt, all of that shame. Guilt wastes an awful lot of energy. It fatigues you. It tires you. It robs you of peace of mind. But Jesus said, I came to die for your sins so you don't have to die for them. I was hung on the cross so you can quit hanging yourself on the cross. I don't know if you've ever asked the question or thought about it, who really killed Jesus? Who put Jesus on the cross? Who is to blame for Jesus being on the cross? Well, it wasn't Judas, and it wasn't Caiaphas the high priest, and it wasn't Pilate the governor, and it wasn't the Romans, and it wasn't the religious leaders, and it wasn't even the crowd. The answer is twofold, who put Jesus on the cross? And this may shock you. This may shock you, but the answer is twofold. The first answer is this, God did. God did. God put Jesus on the cross. It was his plan from the very beginning. It's why Jesus came to earth, to die for our sins. That's the whole reason. It was God's plan before any of us were ever born. Here's what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 in the Bible. All of us have strayed away like sheep. In other words, we've all done our own thing. We've all left God's plan to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him, talking about Jesus, the guilt and sins of us all. From prison and trial, they led him away to his death. But who among the people realized that he was dying for their sins, that he was suffering for their punishment? Said nobody realized that at the time. He had done no wrong. He had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was God's plan that he should suffer. It was God's plan. Yet, now notice the change in tense here. When his life is made an offering for sin, he will have a multitude of children. In other words, there'll be people who will follow him. I don't know if you noticed in this passage the change in tense. The first part is in past tense, and then it goes to future. When his life is made an offering for sin, he will have a multitude of children. You know why the change in tense, past tense, to future? Because this was written 700 years before Jesus Christ. This is a prophecy. And Isaiah, 700 BC, is telling and predicting exactly what's going to happen to the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, who comes to earth. And this happened, and exactly how it happened. It was part of God's plan. But the second one may surprise you too. Who put Jesus on the cross? We did. I did. You did. If none of us had ever sinned, Jesus wouldn't have to die for our sins. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 4. Jesus was handed over to die because of our sins. And he was raised from the dead to make us right with God. Circle the word us. He was raised from the dead. This is what Easter's all about. He's raised from the dead to make us right with God. Who's included in us? You, me, us. We are made right with God. So we've been completely forgiven. That gives me hope. I'm not facing any judgment. I have hope because I have been completely forgiven. Number two, second reason Jesus' resurrection gives us hope is we're no longer afraid to die. We are no longer afraid to die. Now, I mentioned this in the Good Friday services, that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, one of the things he did is he broke the power of death and he broke the power of the fear of death. The fear of death is a universal fear. Everybody has it. I've traveled all around the world. One time I went 46,000 miles in 40 days, literally went circled completely the earth. And I found the fear of death everywhere because we're afraid, it's unknown. We don't know. But what did Jesus do? He came back to life. Let me explain this. If Jesus Christ hadn't resurrected from the dead, you wouldn't even know that there's life after death. You wouldn't even know it. You might guess at it. You might say, well, I hope there's life after death, but you'd have nothing to prove it. But Jesus Christ came back, said, I've conquered death. There is greater life after death. And that's good news. That gives us hope. Here's what Jesus said, John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus promised, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though they die, like everyone else, they will live again. That's a reason for hope. That's a reason for hope. If Jesus Christ hadn't resurrected on Easter Sunday, we're all helpless and all hopeless. Death is the end. It's over. That's it. Now, when Jesus died, they buried him in a tomb. In those days, they didn't bury people under the ground as much as they buried them in caves, kind of like mausoleums. And they would put a stone in front of the cave, and they would roll it away and put some body in and then roll it back. And they did this because entire families for generations would have like a family tomb. And there would be a lot of people buried in the same cave. And so after Jesus died, Joseph of Arimathea volunteered his tomb, and they rolled a huge stone in front of it. But then Pilate had it sealed so it couldn't be moved back. And he posted Roman guards on either side. Now, the 12 disciples who were followers of Jesus at this time, they're scared to death. They run, they turn tail and they run, they're scared. None of them believed the resurrection would happen. And so they're hiding in fear. They're disillusioned, they're depressed, they're afraid they're going to be executed next as the followers of Jesus. And so they're running away and they're hiding. Now, 3 days later, on Easter Sunday morning, one of the women who's traveling with the disciples, Mary Magdalene, decides she's going to go to the tomb to be there. So she goes to the tomb, and when she gets there, she finds the seal has been broken, the stone has been rolled away, there's no body there, and the grave clothes that Jesus had wrapped in are folded and sitting there on a step in the tomb. By the way, some people say, well, maybe they stole a body. If you ever steal a body, leave the clothes on him. There would be no reason to take the clothes off of a person and steal the body. They're just, if you're going to steal it, you may as well steal it with the clothes on it. But they're left there. And so Mary thinks the body's been stolen. I mean, that's the logical conclusion. And then all of a sudden, she hears a voice and she turns around and Jesus is standing there, the risen Jesus Christ. And he says to her, Mary. And when she calls out his name, as she'd heard her name called many times, she knew it was the Lord. And Jesus says, go tell all my brothers, go tell all the disciples that I'm alive and I'm coming to see him. So Mary runs to this house where the disciples are inside with the door locked for fear. She bangs on the door. They let her in, and she says, you guys aren't going to believe this. Jesus is alive. And you know what these great men of faith did? They doubted her. None of them believed her. None of them said, Mary, you've either seen a ghost, you've had a hallucination, you're just in deep grief. They don't believe her at all. So the point is this. Even the disciples, none of Jesus' followers actually believed he'd come back to life until they became eyewitnesses of it. It wasn't just hearsay. They said, I've got to see him. Now, let me ask you a question. If you saw someone walking down the street that you had just buried 3 days earlier, how would you feel about that? Maybe confused, maybe scared to death, frightened, fearful, excited. Do you think you would ever forget that experience? Not likely. Would it change your worldview about life and death? Oh, yeah. Would it give you new hope? Oh, yeah. That there might be life after death? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. One of the things that's difficult to explain without the resurrection is the sudden change in the disciples, because at the crucifixion, they're all scared to death. They're running. They're defeated. They're demoralized. They're in despair. They're disillusioned. They're depressed. 3 days later, they're ready to take on Nero and the Roman Empire. What happened? They had seen Jesus. They were eyewitnesses. They knew physically something had happened. Not just them, but a lot of other people did too. But now they've got courageous confidence. Now they've got contagious hope. Why? They're eyewitnesses. Here's what Peter wrote down in his book. When we told you about the powerful coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we were not telling made-up stories that someone invented. Rather, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And not only these original 12, but Jesus came and stayed on earth for another 40 days, walked around Jerusalem for 40 days. That's why literally tens of thousands of people became believers in a very short time, because there were so many eyewitnesses. Here's what the Bible says, Acts chapter 1, verse 3. For 40 days after his death, Jesus appeared to people many times in many ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. They saw him, and he talked with them about the kingdom of God. Can you imagine being one of the executors who put Jesus on the cross, one of the soldiers, and you saw that guy die, and all of a sudden he's walking down the street, and you go, he's back. That would be strange. Paul lists just a few of the eyewitnesses. This isn't even an entire list. 1 Corinthians 15, he says, Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. And he was buried, and then he was raised from the dead on the third day. Then he says, he was seen by Peter, and then he was seen by the 12 apostles. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. Most of whom are still alive, though some have died by now. He sits on a hillside and teaches 500 people. Then he was seen by James. Later he was seen by all the apostles. Last of all, I saw him too. This isn't even an entire list. For 40 days, he has multiple meetings with a lot of different people. Friends, this is what's called conclusive proof. This is what's called definitive evidence. Having 900 eyewitnesses would stand up in any court anywhere in the world. If I were to tell you that this afternoon over at Starbucks, I saw the Queen of England, you might have a reason to doubt that, because it's just one guy saying it. But if there were 900 different people who said, oh no, she's been here for 40 days, she's staying at the Quality Inn. And we had dinner with her the other night. And somebody said, oh, well, we had breakfast. And another guy goes, well, we went fishing with her. And I said, oh, no, well, we had her over for dinner. And another said, well, we heard her with 500 people at a symposium. And you had 900 eyewitnesses right off the bat. Friends, now you've got a problem with your doubt, because it's not just me saying it. It's eyewitness after eyewitness after eyewitness for 40 days. This is why the church exploded. And within years, there were 30,000 members of the church just in Jerusalem. And then it had grown to nearly 500,000. And it exploded all over the Roman Empire. And what had been persecuted within 300 years is now the official religion of the Roman Empire. Why? Because of the resurrection. There were so many eyewitnesses.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, You can go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime, or you can download the Daily Hope podcast on your computer, smartphone, or tablet. Rick will be back in a moment with a final word, so please stay with us. Every year at Easter, we remember Jesus' sacrifice for us and celebrate His resurrection. Pastor Rick created a unique resource called Journey with Jesus that will give you a way to celebrate, reflect, and pray about what Jesus did for you on the cross. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Every year, Christians from all over the world remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ by traveling to Jerusalem, where they walk the path that Jesus took on the way to the cross. That path is called the Via Dolorosa, which literally means the way of suffering. Now, since you may not be able to ever travel to Jerusalem, I want to suggest a way for you to celebrate and reflect on and pray about what Jesus did for you on the cross. So I've created a brand new one-of-a-kind resource that will take you through the 15 stops that the Bible tells us Jesus took on the road to Calvary and His death on the cross. Now, we're calling this resource Journey with Jesus. Journey with Jesus is a deluxe hardcover gift edition book that's illustrated with really beautiful photos, high-quality glossy photos of mosaic tile artwork that reflect each of the stops that Jesus made on His journey to the cross. You're not ever going to forget this gift. It's a great gift book to keep and to study over and over again, and it'd make a great gift for your family and your friends, too. This gift book is available when you donate to Daily Hope this month.
Request yours today by going to PastorRick.com or texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.
Hi, this is Rick Warren, Bible teacher for the Daily Hope broadcast. Did you know that because of Easter, your past can be forgiven, you get a purpose for living, and you can have a home in heaven? That's good news. Where else can you get that kind of news? Nowhere else. And did you know that at Easter, studies have shown people are more open to an invitation to go to church than at any other time of the year? Don't go to church by yourself, but bring somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ, a family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, a relative. And if you bring them to that church service and they come to know Christ, you're going to be making a friend for eternity. It'll be the most important investment you can ever make in their lives. And by the way, if they come to Christ, would you let me know about it? I'd love to hear that story that you brought somebody to Easter and they found Jesus. You can write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. I would love to hear from you. God bless you and happy Easter.